This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
We are back here with Joyful Life Hypnotherapy. I think we all deserve to have joy, live joy, feel joy. And that's what Rosemary Powell is here doing as a hypnotherapist, sole proprietor, sole practitioner. She's joining us today to help us understand the benefits of hypnotherapy, all it could do. And I'm really excited that she's back with us. I know we're going to talk a little bit about self-talk. We're going to talk a little bit about past life regression. And all that can go in hand with her hypnotherapy sessions that can help you with grief, with trauma, with old emotions, with pain, with stopping, bad habits. There's a lot that she could do, and I'm glad she's back. And now the woman of the hour, please introduce yourself. Say hello.
Oh, good morning, Jill. Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm Rosemary Powell, and it was 35 years ago that I found hypnotherapy, and it's literally saved my life. So I am driven by my life purpose to pay it forward, to help other people with the mechanisms of hypnotherapy in their life. When we work with hypnosis, we are not just working with our conscious mind, which is about 10% of our mind up here, but we're working with the 88% of our mind that is, I'll say it's down under. It's kind of like the ice amount of iceberg that's under the water. And so today I wanted to share the value of positive self-talk. When every morning when we wake up, we have 50,000 new cells. And to think, our body's restoring all the time. So I advise my clients to be particularly mindful of their first thoughts in the morning. And even if you're not really there, say, it's going to be a great day. Because then all these new cells are going to go, okay, we'll help make it a great day too. Yeah. But if instead we wake up with a negative thought, we'll go, okay, I'm mad about that too. We're all mad too. So they'll all get on board with what you're thinking. So what the mind thinks, the body follows. Be careful what you're thinking, because the subconscious mind is always listening.
Interesting.
And so how do we do that, Jill? Because many people feel that, it's in our conscious mind that all these thoughts are going, and we all have the thoughts of regret of the past, right?
Yeah.
I would have, should have done that, could have done that, or that person wronged me and we're harboring that from days, months, or even years and decades ago. Okay. And then there's the thoughts we have about this moment, living in this moment. And then there's the thoughts we have about future. Now, studies have been done. They say that like in the high 90% of these thoughts are negative, Joe.
Wow.
And this doesn't have to be, because what we're thinking, we will manifest. Now, this doesn't mean we say irrational things that we won't settle with when we feel them. But for instance, one of the beliefs that many of us grow up with because of our parents trying the best they could was, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling not good enough.
Yeah.
Or feeling that you're a mistake. Or in some families, that you're not important. Because, parents today, we're working one or two jobs. We have so many pressures on us. Parents have their own relationship issues going on. And so we can begin with hypnosis, because if we just talk about it up here, we can work on our thoughts. And actually, I call all this self-talk, I call it a bunch of monkeys in the trees. And the monkeys are chattering away. And many of us don't think we can control the monkeys in the trees. But in reality, we can. So begin with, I am good enough, even if it feels a little like, I don't know about that. Or we can soften it and say, every day and every way, I'm doing better and better. And so we can take a soft approach to it like that. Or because I practice self-hypnosis, I am feeling more peaceful, relaxed, and calm. But so, Jill, how do we get these self-talk really anchored into a true belief that we feel in our heart and our soul, and we can manifest in our lives? And that is with the hypnotic
I was
trance.
going to say, I think I need your help for that because a lot of us don't know how to do this. Aha, there it is.
So, between our conscious mind and our subconscious mind is the critical factor. And after the age of 12, it actually closes. Yes, it actually closes. So as we're saying, I'm good enough, I'm good enough, I'm good enough, it will literally be bouncing off our subconscious mind, even though our subconscious mind needs it. So when we are guided into a relaxed state of mind, you're not asleep, you're not unconscious, you can't be made to say anything you don't want to, it's not mind control. We can begin to program ourselves with, I am enough. I am enough. That's done with the hypnotic trance and the positive statement that you want to program. And when the critical factors open, then we need repetition. Okay? So, Jill, what's really interesting. Many of us have seen at least pictures of the Grand Canyon, right? And the Colorado River goes through it with it's quite a roaring river, depends on the water levels, of course. But many of us have had 10, 20, 40, 100 years even. My oldest client's 96.
Oh my gosh.
Of the neural pathway is like the Grand Canyon of I'm not good enough. Or I'm not worthy. And so when we begin to create new neural pathways, it's like taking a bucket of water and pouring it down a new hillside. And even that first bucket of water will begin a new neural pathway. But then we need the repetition. So I ask all my clients to practice self-hypnosis at least once a day, but best twice a day. And that's why I give recordings with every session.
Wow. Thank you. Oh my goodness. And every session you get the recording, and how often do we have to listen to it? How does that part work?
I like them to listen to it twice a day.
Okay.
With every session, they'll get new recordings, maybe on boundaries,
Okay.
on reclaiming their power, on learning detachment, on motivation,
Okay.
on connecting with their higher self, their spirituality.
Wow.
So then they can begin to choose, but I recommend two a day. People that work 12-hour shifts and thing, I'm realistic. Let's say one a day, but do a pinky swear you're going to do it one a day, because hypnotherapy and changing our subconscious mind's programming needs repetition.
Wow.
It actually takes 30 to 60 days of repetition of a new belief in order to anchor it in our subconscious mind to reprogram it.
Awesome. Wow. And a lot of us do this negative self-talk, let's just say, right? And there it's no help to us whatsoever. It is detrimental to our well-being, to positive self-talk, right? To have good thoughts and feelings. And tell me some of the things that during someone's during the process, and then they're changing and realizing what's going to happen to that person that really does stick with this and really starts with the positive self-talk. What are some of the things that happen?
Well, it's really amazing. There's often results right away. I'm seeing a young man with cerebral palsy. He's 20 years old. He's intelligent. He's in college studying business, but he wants his physical therapy to be more effective. So he won't have to walk with a walker. He wants to walk with his crutches and eventually a cane. So I designed a program for him that all of his muscles in his shoulders relax. They are capable of relaxing. and his body and his spine hold him grounded into the core of Mother Earth and are upright and balanced. And after that one session, now we made a recording still, but after that one session, I had him bring his crutches that time. He brought his crutches and he walked the fastest he's ever walked, he said. He was grinning from ear to ear. And it was just, I was about to be in tears. I wished I'd videoed it with his permission.
Yeah.
And then I heard from his mother a couple days later that he was still walking upright.
Ah.
And even reminding her, Mom, we're not going to forget our recordings every day, every day. He wants a new neuropathway. He doesn't want the old Grand Canyon that feared he'd never walk with a cane. And another gentleman, well, I work with many people with anxiety, and it's usually just a few sessions that they say, I'm less anxious at home, and my family's less anxious because I'm less anxious, and even my dog, who I thought had an anxiety disorder, is less anxious. she comes up to me and wants to just hang out much more peacefully. When one person gets hypnotherapy, it affects up to 8 people, Jill.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So think what that does for your family and your relationships and your work relationships.
I love it. Wow. Well, hold on. Let me ask you about, before we finish, more on self-talk, anything else? And then we're going to dive into something else, but I don't want to jump the gun.
Other than the magic of self-talk and affirmations is the trance. I teach all my clients self-hypnosis. So it's a tool they can carry throughout their lives. I still do self-hypnosis, self-talk every single day.
And the next part of the conversation we are excited to learn about, because a lot of people want to know about this past life regression. Is that what do you call it specifically?
That's right. Past life regression therapy.
And what does that mean specifically?
Oh, it's very exciting, Jill. Within our subconscious mind, we have all our memories. We even have the memories of previous lifetimes. Now, prior to Christianity, the whole world believed that our souls reincarnated multiple times, even hundreds or thousands of times.
Okay.
And when Christianity came, then about a third of the world now believes we only have one life to live, and the judgment of our behavior and good, bad, and the ugly will determine our place in heaven or wherever. Okay? So it's interesting that most people in the world do believe we have past lives. When I first began studying hypnotherapy, I was raised Christian, so I didn't ever have a thought that I might have had other lifetimes. But as I began studying more, and I've got a stack of books this high, and I've taken more advanced classes in it, is I'm realizing I did. And they have a wonderful message for people. Sometimes people learn through a past life regression why they're attracted to a certain country or a certain period of time. I've always been attracted to England and the British Isles. I had another client who said, I even decorate my house in the colors of India. And her past life took her to India. And I asked them, about what year is this? And about what continent you're on? And what do you notice around you? So I don't tell people what their past life experience is. Someone says, I wonder what you're going to tell me I was in the past. They go, well, first of all, Cleopatra's already been taken.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And Paul Revere probably already. And Joan of Arc, she's already, anyway. So just joking about it, is our past lives can shed light on habits and behaviors and even illnesses that we carry over into this life. And so one particular woman that I share, she wanted a past life regression. She learned in that the way she treated men in that life always brought her sadness, but it was a pattern. And her comments after that were, I'm going to completely change my husband and my relationship because it hasn't been good. And now I know it can be, because that's not the kind of woman I want to be in this life. So there's times it's something very uplifting. You recognize your soul family. You see people from this life that you recognize from in other lives. You may find out that in one of my lives, I was a man. I was a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my sons in this life was my son in that life. So it's so amazing as they begin to find people that are familiar to them. Because many of our lifetimes we go through, we may even marry the same husband we married before.
Wow, really?
Yes. Yes. So it's very intriguing, and especially people need to know that there are documented cases. There's The Boy Who Knew Too Much,
mm-hmm.
famous book. It's in my office, so I'd flip it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Boy Who Knew Too Much.
Oh.
It was determined that he was reincarnated Luke Eric.
What?
And as a little child.
Uh-huh.
As a little toddler, he begged his mother to throw the baseball with him constantly. He insisted on wearing Dodgers jerseys every single day. So she just bought five of them so she could get them through the laundry. And later, she took him to the field where they played. And he said, Mommy, when I was here, there were no lights. So we always played during the day.
Oh, my goodness.
And he walked up to photographs of the team and pointed to, I'm going to say Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mantle, the one. Oh, I bet I got the wrong ball player. And he said, he was mean to me because there was an ongoing fight between those players. And even in his next life, he remembered that. So, one other fun thing about that little boy, when he was shown a picture of Lou Gehrig's parents, his mom said, do you know who they are? And he said, yes. And he pointed to the woman and he said, that's you, Mom. So his mom in this life was his mom when he was Lou Gehrig as well. And he knew both his parents at that life's names.
Wow.
You got to read that book, Jill.
I'm fascinated by the story. I got goosebumps. This is great.
It's great. Another story is, I'm trying to remember the name of the book, is of a young boy who was drawing aircraft carriers at a very young age, very articulate, very specific. And he was drawing fighter planes from the Second World War. And he even had the numbers on the plane.
The tail number. I heard about this one. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And he even put the numbers on the aircraft carrier.
Oh, my
God. He also had regular nightmares of drowning, of crashing and drowning.
Wow. Yep.
So at first, the parents tried to just say, oh, just ignore him. It's just a phase. It's just nightmares. But as time went by, they began to discover that the aircraft carrier numbers were of a specific carrier. And there was a reunion of that carrier, the pilots that were still alive from the Second World War. And they took their son and went to meet the survivors. This little boy walked up to them and addressed each one of them by name. So, do we have past incarnations? I don't just believe we do. I know we do.
Oh, my goodness. I'm Googling that story. I'm trying to get the kid's name. I forgot his name. Hold on. It was a James
James Leninger? Survivor. Yep. The name of it is Soul Survivor. That's the name of the book. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And then I heard one about a child who was fearing, ambulances and fire departments, and turned out he was supposedly in 9/11. Did you hear about that one? That was on the news a few years ago. Supposedly he was one of the victims that fell out of the building. I mean, just I just can't. And, like, my question to you, or someone who, I don't know if anyone knows this, but how far back can we go? And, like, because then it's like, what gets me is, okay, let's just use the example of, let's just say the world, September 11th. So say 25 years ago, just, or 20 years ago, just say. But so when does that person reincarnate? Because, like, their family's still here on Earth praying for them and talking to them. And, like, when does a soul reincarnate? Does it happen right away? Does it happen years later? Could it happen not at all? Like, this is, like, more of a question for, like, God. But he's not here with us today. I mean, he is probably, but, like, these are the things I'm curious. Do you have any insight what you think, just from what you know, people you
from
talk to?
My gut feelings, we can reincarnate. Even there's a lot of studies done on the interlife, the life between lives, and there are Brian Weiss has done 35 years of study, and all of the hypnosis he did with clients was past lives and interlife. And this is there's a period of time where we meet with a soul, with our soul counsel, and have a life review. We have things that we learn from that previous life. And there's even a type of library that we go to in the interlife and discover more things we need to learn for our soul's evolution, for our soul's journey. And so if someone from World War II or 9/11 can reincarnate now, here, you know, how many years later, then it could be anywhere from a few years to maybe 50. So when I guide a client, go back in time, because when a client sees me for a past life regression, I ask them to, what would you like to learn from this? And a physician that I saw, because he had chronic pain in his shoulder, he wanted to go back to where that health problem happened. And it was in a primitive time where the weapons were swords. He was stabbed in his shoulder.
Ah.
Okay. And so, but does that mean he didn't have other lifetimes between then and now? I can't answer that. Some people have a sensation also, and I'm not making a judgment on this. Can our souls have two incarnations at the same time? Our soul is not our body.
Yeah.
Can it reincarnate two bodies at a similar time? So I'm still studying this, Jill.
Yeah.
And it's because it's so beautiful, and people's experiences. A young man that I saw, he said, you know, I don't understand why I'm in banking. I don't understand. I don't understand why I love buying my wife nice things. I just love it. Well, the first life he went to, he was a street urchin. His dad was an alcoholic, and he lived in the British Isles. He's thinking England. And when he would steal from one of the vendors, the baker or the fruit man on the street, he would always steal two things. Because there was a little girl there that was also a street urchin, because her father was abusive. So if he stole a loaf of bread, he'd steal two. So she would always have one. So he was always providing. And this is now manifesting in his current marriage. And as far as banking, in another life that he went back to, he was a banker. And they had a little house in Ohio in the turn of the century, by the description of the architecture. And when he and his current wife in this life first married, they walked into a house in Bakersfield, California. And it was a turn of the century, older little boxy home. And she walked in and she said, "We have to live here. We have to live here."
Mm-hmm.
And when she came in for her past life regression, she said, "I know why now. because the home we had in Ohio, and we were so in love and so happy.
Ah.
It's just like, you know, all those homes were built similarly, weren't they? The little front door and the two little windows, and a couple bedrooms in the back. And so they wanted to continue the joy that they'd had back in around 1900 when they lived in Ohio together and he was a banker. They both lived to old age and he died with his family surrounding him. So it's a beautiful thing to share with people. Just one other quick one. A lady that saw me was terrified of dying as she had terminal cancer and it would bring her a great deal of anxiety. So she'd been seeing me for a while and I guided her into a deep trance. And I say, go forward in time now to the day of your passing, to the day of your death. And she went to it. And I said, tell me what's happening. She says, my son is here. My husband's here. And I said, are you in pain? She says, no, I'm not. And I say, now go to the moment that your spirit leaves your body. And she went and she said, I said, oh, where are you? And she said, I'm in a big space. I said, stay with it. And then she started crying. She said, my brother is tapping me on the shoulder and giving me a great big hug. And from this experience, you can guess, she knows that dying is going to be an amazing experience and she's going to be fine. Mm. And there will be at least her brother to greet her.
Wow. Ooh, goosebumps. Thank you again. All right. How can we reach out to you? Wow, this is fascinating. Thank you so much.
Yes. My website is joyfullifehypnotherapy.com. I'm in Tehachapi, California, but I see people worldwide over Zoom. And my phone number is 661-238-9154. Beautiful. It's great being with you, Jill.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to the next time we connect. Thank you again. And always a pleasure, Rosemary. I love talking to you. Wow. Thank you so much. Enjoy your day. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.